Good morning, everybody. This is Tim Smith, pastor of East Mountain Baptist Church, and this is a little different for us. This is not quite the way we normally do it, but as you know, the last couple of weeks have been anything but normal. There's a very good possibility the next couple of weeks are going to be that as well. So we're looking at doing our worship this way for the next couple of weeks. So we'll see how this works out. Yeah, I hope you'll be forgiving for any places that I may mess up. First time in a while that I've tried to do anything like this. So we do appreciate your understanding there. If you have a Bible at home, you want to follow with me, you want to turn to Exodus chapter 13. We're going to look at verses 17 through 22 of Exodus chapter 13. Writer of Exodus says, "When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. But God led the people around by the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt, equipped for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and shall carry up, and you shall carry up my bones with you from here. And they moved on from Succoth and encamped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them day by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your love and care for us. Lord, we thank you for knowing you're always with us no matter what the situation. You're with us even now, no matter where we are, no matter what we're dealing with, no matter what we're facing. And especially, Father, in these uncertain times, remind us that you are still God and that you are still in control. Lord, we thank you so much for your love. Most of all, Father, we thank you for Jesus. For it's in his precious name we pray. Amen. You know, when we speak about man in general, we like to believe that we're in control. That we know what's coming around the corner, that we're aware, informed, that nothing ever catches us by surprise. You look at the medical field, and there are CT scans and MRIs and X-rays, and all those things are designed to help doctors and nurses and others look inside the human body to see what's going on, to understand it and treat it and work with it. Again, to not be surprised. Meteorology. Those that work in the science of weather, they deal with radars and satellites, and they use that to see rotation and plot storms. They may not be able to control the weather, but they can certainly plot and project and warn. Think about the military. My goodness, the military has so many different ways of being able to provide real-time intelligence, and they can even look down with satellites and other paraphernalia and see actual body heat, know where people are, where they're standing, what they're doing, their location. In our homes, we have computers and we have cell phones that we're able to follow things through and control. And I mean, even with our televisions right now, remote control. We love to have controls. We are in control. But in the past couple of weeks, everything we thought that we were so sure about has come into question. And for the most part, all from a virus, a microscopic thing that we cannot see with the naked eye. We cannot contain it. We can't direct it, much less control it. And our inability to be in control of this tiny thing has, for many, sent them completely out of control. Stores, businesses, gatherings. In fact, the very reason that I'm here doing this in this fashion, all these things have happened because of this. You know, a few days ago, many, if not most of us, thought we knew how the world worked, how things got done, how much time we had. Now, not so much. For some time now, we've been dealing with the five solas of the Reformation, the five onlys or alones, if you will. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. We've been dealing with the glory of God. To God alone be the glory for quite a while now. And we've seen in Scripture that glory in reference to God often points to different things depending on the context. As I was confronted in the past couple of weeks as you, with our mutual circumstance, I couldn't help but be drawn to this passage where the Shekinah glory of God, the visible presence of God, actually became the directing presence of God. Here's Israel. Over 400 years they've been in bondage. And as bad as it was, if you think about it, they knew how that worked. As bad as it was, at least they were in control of their feelings about it, their circumstances to some extent. They knew how their world worked. Now God has moved Pharaoh to free the people of Israel. So God leads them through Moses out of Egypt. But according to verse 17, there was another way that was closer. But it says, but God led the people around by the way of the wilderness. In fact, in verse 20, it says they actually camped on the edge of the wilderness. Now, I don't know if you've ever been on a trip where you had to have a guide. Fishing trip, hunting trip, maybe a trip to another country, but someplace where you had not been. You needed someone to give you direction, someone to show you how to do things and do them safely, how to make things happen. This situation, the wilderness that he's talking about, it wasn't the woods, not like we think of. And in fact, it wasn't even the fact that it was a desert or even that there was a lack of things they were going to need. The issue was they were on the edge of somewhere they had never been before. God had intentionally taken them in a different direction, one in which they were going to have to rely on Him and Him alone. God was showing His glory. God was showing His direction. Now, how did He do that? First of all, He made His direction personal. He made it personal. In verse 21 it says, and the Lord went before them. You know, before it had been good enough that Moses led, but now it's God. God is leading them. Now, interesting, the word before here does not simply mean that He went in front of them. It does not simply mean that He was the first one in line, but rather it means that He was leading them somewhere where He had been before. Before there was anything, God had been there. Israel, they knew nothing of where they were headed. God, on the other hand, knew everything. Now, this is what's interesting. The picture is He's not leading them down a path. There was no path. There was no road. There was no way. There wasn't even what we might say in Texas, a goat trail. God was forging the way for them. Pillar of fire, cloud. This is the Lord. This is the Shekinah glory of God. It means the physical manifestation of God. God present with His people. He Himself personally directing His people. When you look in the New Testament, Jesus, we're told in John chapter 8, was at the temple, at the temple, it was the closing of the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus had been teaching in the temple in the court of the women, and it came to the point in time of the day as the day was closing where the four great candelabra that had four great golden bowls of oil were prepared. And when darkness would fall, four youths who came from a priestly lineage would climb up on ladders and light those great torches. And there was such a blaze of light that suddenly the darkness was pierced with such a light that it was said to have illuminated every street, every square in the city of Jerusalem. That light could be seen for miles around Jerusalem. Now think about this. It was in that very court, possibly the very moment when those candelabra were being lighted, that Jesus cried out in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world." What Jesus was saying was, you've seen this great blaze of the temple being illuminated, the darkness being turned into daylight, but I am the light of the world. The light in the temple was a brilliant light, no question. But that light was going to end. That light was going to flicker and die. And Jesus is saying, I'm the light that lasts forever. I am the light of the world, he said. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of men. Here's Israel at the edge of the wilderness. God is there. Man's at an edge. Jesus is there. And here we are. We're at an edge. But it's okay, because God is there personally. And because he is the only one who knows what comes next, believe me, he's the only one that you would want with you. That's the glory of God, God's direction. God's direction is personal, and God's direction is permanent. Verse 22, we're told that the fire and that the cloud, that God did not depart from them. By day or by night, God did not abandon his people. Those whom God brings into a wilderness, he will not leave, nor will he lose there, but he will take care to lead them through it. Psalm 23, David the psalmist says, though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, through. God did not just bring Israel to the edge of the wilderness. He took them into it and through it. No matter what's going on in your life, God's there, and he'll see you through that. That's what permanent means. God's direction is permanent. He's not going anywhere without you. I don't know if you've ever followed someone in a vehicle going somewhere that you've never been. I've had to move both of my sons different places around Dallas and other areas, and though I grew up in that area, it's been many years and many things have changed. And if you get behind somebody and you're trying to follow them and you're in traffic, the last thing on earth you want is anybody to get between you and that other person, because you're so afraid you're going to lose visual connection. And if they make a turn and you miss it, what do? Well, here's the pillar. The pillar of fire during the evening, the pillar of cloud during the day. The pillar, we're told, went before them, and it stopped when it was time for them to camp. So when the cloud moved, the people followed it. When it stopped, everybody stopped. It never took off and left them. It took them at a pace they could go. No slower, no faster. You know what that means? God knows who you are, where you are, and how you are. He's not going to leave you. I don't know about you, I'm really glad that God is not a GPS. I hate GPS. I know they're helpful, but if you ever get to a point where you take a turn and all of a sudden it decides it wants to reroute you. Now, they're supposed to take you the quickest way, the shortest way, the way without accident, so forth and so on. But when I can't stand it when it starts recalculating. There's no need to fear missing the way. You're not going to miss a turn. You're not going to get lost, because the glory of God's not going to let that happen. God has given us his Son. God has given us his Spirit. If you have a relationship with Christ, the Holy Spirit lives within you. What better direction could there possibly be? And you have the Word of God to give us direction. Now think about this. Throughout the entire Exodus experience, in the darkest of night, God's glory was shining. And whether it was day or night, fire or cloud, you know what's interesting? Nothing ever doubts that. I know you've seen clouds dissipated by high winds. I know you've seen fires put out by rain. Nothing put out God's leadership. His presence, His direction was permanent. Doesn't matter what the wilderness holds. God is not going anywhere without us. God's glory is about His direction. His direction is personal. His direction is permanent. And His direction is persistent. You remember the story about Joseph. Joseph was one of 12. Joseph was the dreamer. Joseph told his dreams, didn't make his brothers very happy. They saw their opportunity. They took him. They threw him in a pit. They sold him. He ends up in slavery. He finds his way to Potiphar's house. God blesses. Things go wrong. He ends up in prison. God blesses. He finally finds himself in the Pharaoh's house. His brothers and family find their way back in the midst of terrible times. His father finally makes his way back. God puts Joseph in the perfect position, but Joseph eventually died. Now, we're told in verse 19 of this passage that Moses went back and got the bones of Joseph and took them with him. Now, why take the bones of Joseph? Well, for one, he requested it. Yes, obviously. But he did it because we're told here, because he knew, and I quote, "God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones with you from here." God will surely visit you. God will surely come again. God will surely come for us. And he did just that. You know what that means? That means the same presence from the same God is available in every generation and in every wilderness. And we've said this before as we've been looking at the glory of God in past weeks. Malachi 3:6, God says, "I, the Lord, do not change." You know what that means? It means the same God who freed Israel from slavery, the same God who parted the Red Sea, the same God who parted the Jordan, the same God who brought down the walls of Jericho, and on and on and on and on and on is still the same God today. Same God that's available to us. And there is no wilderness we will ever face that he will not be with us in. That's persistent. The wilderness that we find ourselves on the edge of right now, whether as man as a whole, or as a country, or as the body of Christ, is not news to God. It didn't catch him off guard, and it will not drive him from us. In his providence, he has brought us to a place like Israel where we have never been before. And he has intentionally taken us, as he did Israel, a different direction, one in which we are going to have to rely on him and him alone. But you know what? That's okay. That's okay. Because God's direction is persistent, and he will not let go of us until he leads us through this wilderness. In the first half of 2009, news reports began to pour in about vessels that were being attacked by pirates off the coast of Somalia, southern Africa. Entire shiploads of cargo were being held for ransom by pirates. They were being delayed severely or even lost at sea. Amid the midst of all that, a fellow by the name of Mark Wilson was just learning the ropes to his new job. He was a logistics coordinator for the United States headquarters of Africa Inland Mission. You may sometimes see them referred to as AIM, A-I-M. It's a Christian missionary sending agency that is dedicated to reaching the peoples of Africa with the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, as it just so happened, then and now, AIM uses the Somali shipping lanes to send supplies and equipment to missionaries working in the field. Well, one day, Mark received a phone call offering him a supply of free Band-Aids for the missionaries in Africa. Well, Mark gladly accepted, but he forgot to ask just how many Band-Aids were being sent, and that was something that he didn't normally do. He was always looking for a way to fill ocean containers, but when the second UPS 18-wheeler showed up, he realized that he made quite a mistake and quite a few Band-Aids were coming. So soon after, Mark was supervising the packing of an ocean container that was carrying valuable equipment and other supplies intended for the missionaries. And when there was any room left, they started sticking Band-Aids in there. They started sticking Band-Aids here and there, and every place they could, every place they could squeeze, when they thought there was nothing else left, no room left, they kept sticking in Band-Aids, knowing that the missionaries could use them somewhere. But after the equipment and the supplies eventually were delivered, Mark learned that God had a different goal in mind than what he considered to have been a nuisance from those Band-Aids. Because you see, the ship carrying Ames' ocean container had been hijacked by pirates. They even broke into the crate containing that valuable equipment that was meant for the missionaries. But when they saw nothing but piles of Band-Aids, the pirates moved on. The equipment was unnoticed and arrived safely in the hands of the people who desperately needed it. You know, we may not understand God's direction at any given time, but never doubt the glory of God in His direction in our lives. That's why God said to the prophet Jeremiah, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." To God be the glory. Great things He is still doing. Father, we love You and we praise You. And we thank You for the fact that Your glory is still directing us, Father. You are personally involved in our lives. You're permanently there for those that have a relationship with You. And Father, You are so persistent, there is no way You are ever going to let us get so far off track that somehow You lose contact with us or somehow we totally lose track. Father, I confess I don't understand that kind of love. I confess I don't understand how it is that You can overlook the times when we murmur against You, when we blaspheme against You, when we question You, when we doubt You. And Father, it's times like this, even the strongest of Christians can find themselves wondering, questioning, doubting. But Father, You're still there. And You have promised, I will never leave You or forsake You. Father, it's because You love us, yes. It's because You're forgiving, yes. It's because You're merciful, yes. But Father, ultimately, it's not about us. It's because of You and Your glory. And Father, You continue to make Your glory known by directing our lives. So Father, even in the midst of being on the edge of the wilderness, we're going to trust You. Father, thank You for Your love. Most of all, we thank You for Jesus. For it's in the precious name of Christ we pray. Amen.